Good afternoon, Lake Norman. How are we today? Hope everybody's having a great week here, the second week of March. Already the second week of March, we're getting into it. Heading toward the Ides of March, Bill. Heading toward the Ides of March. Coming up. We are welcome to Know the Scene this week, guys. Your show here in the Lake Norman region to talk about all the great cultural things that are happening around our towns that make up this Lake Norman region. What can you go see? What can you listen to? What do you eat? What are you drinking? All those fun things. Justin Dionne here, your host. Excited to be back again this week for another show. After a little bit of a break, we had some pre-records there that posted. So I'm glad to be back live today with Bill and our guest. Kane Center for the Arts continues to have a lot going on. There's a lot going on around the Lake Norman region as weather starts to warm up a hair here. We're getting into today. I think this morning was in the 30s, but now it is like in the mid 70s. So that's heading towards spring in North Carolina. That's how we do it here, right? Oh, we got some blooms popping in on some trees. It's really starting to get exciting, little springish weather. And we're heading toward St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick's Day as well, which is a fun time around the year here. Lots of performances. You've got a big show this weekend at Boatyard, I saw. You've got lots of things happening everywhere. And Kane Center for the Arts. We had a great weekend last weekend. Last Friday, we had a jazz quartet, did a Tony Bennett tribute show, Joe Grandston. Had a chance to have him here on the show. He was great. Then Saturday night, we had Robin Spielberg doing some instrumental piano music. She was a pleasure to talk to, just a real sweetheart when we had her here on the show. And today, we are joined with Shane Hayes from Socks in the Frying Pan. Socks in the Frying Pan is playing this Friday night, the 15th, here at Kane Center for the Arts. Shane, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going? How are you getting on? Great to be here.
Thanks.
Hello from the back seat of a soccer mom car. I'm not even sure where we're driving from. Kind of in the New Jersey area, and we're heading towards, where are we heading towards? Maryland. There we go.
Shane is our first guest en route. Literally,
yes,
en route.
Is life on the road. You could not possibly be, well, I'm literally on the road. So just got a quick takeaway coffee. This is the clip of the van. We've got the merch. We've got the bags. We've got the two apes in the front that are driving.
Hey!
This is what it looks like. Welcome to life on the road.
I love it. That's great. Folks, if you're watching live on Facebook Live or anything, you literally be seeing there. Shane's in a moving car. You see the surroundings around him. It looks like a nice day there in New Jersey as well today.
It seems pretty nice. We drove across 5 states yesterday. So the weather, we've seen all sorts of weather.
Wow.
We're doing 12 states in 12 days. And Texas is one of those states. We're starting in Texas, finishing in Georgia. So we've got shorts packed, and we've got we've also got big heavy jackets packed. So we've got every sort of weather covered for. It's very, very hard to pack. This country is so big.
It is. It is a big country. I think we all forget how big it really is, like living here.
Especially when you come from somewhere like Ireland. Like we drove for 6 hours the other day across New York, and we were still in New York. Like if you drive in any direction for 6 hours in Ireland, you're in the water. So
it's a good point. That's a really good point. So you started in Texas and you're ending in Georgia. So you're making a big hook. Like you're kind of hooking up and then back down.
It's pretty crazy. Yeah. It's 12 states in 12 days. And the first day was Texas. So that's pretty rock and roll.
You guys are rock and rolling with your traditional Irish music.
Well, there seems to be still people calling out for it, so we'll take it as long as it keeps coming.
Oh, yeah. We're excited, man. We've got a big house for those. If you don't have tickets yet for this Friday, by the way, there are still some left. We've sold just over 300 of the 400 seats that we have, and still days to sell tickets. So, folks, get those tickets. It's going to be a great show this weekend with Shane and his brothers.
That's right. Well, my brother is actually on sabbatical at the moment. He's been traveling all over the world. He called me 2 weeks ago from just outside the Taj Mahal. We're not all related, contrary to what. I suppose we're kind of telling different stories and different lies every state we go, so it's probably very hard to keep up with the actual truth of it. The original lineup of the band was myself and my brother and our pet, Aidan Coyne, on guitar. And he's like someone that just kind of, you know, when you have a stray cat and you feed the stray cat one time and then
don't do that.
They just keep coming back for food.
That's
that
right.
Type of thing. That was it on. And then my brother went on sabbatical a couple of years ago. He decided to go traveling the world with his girlfriend. So while he's done that, we've picked up the amazing Lee Ugly, Ian King on fiddle, who can do nothing about that now because he's driving.
There you go. He's got driver duty. How often do you guys, do you trade off? Do you all trade off driver duty?
We do. Yeah, we swap it a lot. Yeah. We trade around. You're nearly always busy in the van though. Like there's always some sort of promotion or some sort of something you could do. This is the first podcast that has been done from the car though. So this is a new one.
All right. Breaking the mold.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, another first. We like that. So tell us, so Shane, you have been described as prodigious by Irish Music Magazine.
I've been described as a lot of things by a lot of people, Justin. Yeah, that was nice ones, you know. You kind of send off albums for reviews and you're kind of wondering what are people going to say. There's a lot. See, Irish music kind of breaks into two categories. There's like innovational and traditional. And the traditional really don't like when the innovational people play it too fast.
Interesting.
Too much ornamentation in it. So I was wondering who would be reviewing that one. If the Trad Police were reviewing that one, I don't think they would have been as kind. So I was quite happy with that one. All right, yeah.
So are you guys, is Socks in the Frying Pan kind of, I mean, are you guys full in what you just said? Is Socks in the Frying Pan full traditional Irish, or do you kind of blend a little bit as well?
I'd say definitely a lot of blending. We have our own kind of sound. I think.
Right.
I don't know how you describe it. A trendy trad. Someone described it as one time. So it's not so far on the innovational scale, and it's definitely not traditional. Traditional. So it's like trendy trad was probably a good way.
Trendy trad.
It's just enough to have a foot in each camp that you can be unanimously hated by everybody.
I was getting ready to say, I was like, so do they both just not like you guys because you're not trad enough for the folks, but you're not far enough out
Why do you think we're doing a different state every day? We got to get out of that state as fast as possible.
I like it, man. I like it. That's great. Awesome. And from Witten, actually, and where you're from in Ireland is at least it says you guys are from one of the meccas of Irish traditional music.
Yeah, we're from the Mecca. Innis County Clare is just where it's all happening. It's like the Nashville of Irish music.
Oh, cool.
I mean, we come out here and, you know, we're great out here, but at home, everybody plays, you know, everybody's a top class musician. So, we're spoiled for music. Everyone kind of plays it as a kid.
That's awesome.
You know, so you're steeped in it over there. There's loads of Irish dance. There's loads of Irish music. There's loads of everything.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come right back with more Shane after the break. Everybody come on back. Know the scene.
Now, more Know the Scene with Kane Center for the Arts Executive Director Justin Dionne on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
And we're back, everybody. Welcome back to Know the Scene this wonderful Tuesday afternoon here in March. Justin Dionne, your host here, chatting with Shane Hayes. Live from the touring van. Live from the tour van, Shane is today with us. Trekking.
The soccer mom van making its way across America.
That's right. Trekking its way through New Jersey right now, heading southward.
Yeah. Are we still in New Jersey? We are now in Delaware.
Oh, wow. That was quick. Look at that. We're passing through states live. I like that. Way to go. By the time the interview's done, you'll be in Maryland.
Yeah. We actually pretty much
real life. Yeah. If my geography's...
I can just keep going. Like, I can bring you on stage. You can do a sound come check with us on episode. It'd be great.
that would be quite. That would be an awesome live episode thing. You should have one of your bandmates put on their Instagram or something. Instagram it live while you're on a live radio feed.
We'd have to keep the cycle going, then. Someone else have to video them videoing us videoing me, and just keep going till we.
That's right.
One of those things.
That's right. What Shane was just before the break, we kind of dipped into some of the stuff that Shane's done with Socks in the Frying Pan, and they're on tour right now. And just to recap for everyone, Shane is from Ennis County Clare, Ireland, which is the mecca for traditional Irish music. What is it? I know we talked a little bit about the you were talking about traditional versus non-traditional. I forget what you called it. But
there's a lot of words. Innovative is kind of
innovative.
I mean, it would be so wrong to even put them into two different camps like that. You know, there's just varying levels of it. I think it's just the easiest thing to call it traditional and not traditional. You know, there's varying degrees of not traditional as well. Then, you know, so, and there's varying degrees of traditional too. So it's a bit too easy to just put them into two. But I don't know, do we fit into any aside from our own? We just like playing stuff fast.
Fast. That's what I was getting ready to say. Like, so a lot of the stuff you guys are playing, and it's wonderful. I've been listening to it since we booked you guys to come here. But so you play the accordion. What yes. else do you play other instruments as well?
A bit of guitar, a bit of piano, a bit of everything. Really, just messing around. It's more out of boredom. You pick up something else and just start playing around with it. You know. We all sing as well, I suppose. That's another thing.
Your harmonies are a big part of it.
Yeah, they are, yeah. But we kind of lost the cute factor after 10 years of touring over here. Once the gray hair started, and it was all downhill after that. The musicians age different to you regular folk. You know, it's 7 years for a dog and 1 year for a human. I think it's about 3 years for a musician is 1 year for a human. So
right.
Been on the road for 4 to 5 years or something at this stage. So
yeah, because you guys have been
at every angle.
You guys started the group in 2014.
We started touring the States in 2014. So I think we started the group itself started around 2008, August 2008. Yeah, I was working in a pub in Ennis, County Clare, where we're from, and the museum. I just finished college. It was the summer after I finished college, and was working behind the bar. And the musicians cancelled, and the manager said, "Hey, you play music, don't you?" And I said, "I do, but I hadn't played much for a long time." And he said, "Could I find some musicians to play that night?" But there was a music competition on that weekend, so there was everybody was gone to it, and I couldn't find anyone to play. And I called everybody. Like, I called people I wanted to play with, people that I didn't really know. I called people I didn't want to play with, but I would play with. They were all busy. And at the very, 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 very bottom of the list, I can't stress how far at the bottom of the list, was this guy that I had a mutual friend with. I knew he played guitar, but I knew he played rock guitar. So I never really knew he anything about trad. And I very, very begrudgingly called. And that was it on, and he's sitting right in front of me now on the tour bus 15 years later. And it's funny, if I was back, I would have just turned down the gig and never played at all. Instead of being stuck with him for 15 years.
But hey, what a great guy to be stuck with, huh? Obviously, it's a match. It's been quite the match.
Yeah, it was. It was chemistry from the first night. Very violent chemistry, with me wanting to hurt him. But no, that was good. It was good. The first night, and my brother kind of fell into it. Then my brother was a senior in high school at the time, so he went to college, and we had a couple of more years while we were playing in the pubs and stuff. And then it just got tighter and tighter, and we got a CD together, and then ended up touring America. And the rest is history. So it's 10 years this summer since we came out here first.
Wow,
so a long time.
And you've played, well, at least on your website it says, you've played 46 U.S. states. Have you not played all 50 yet?
I think we're up to, no, we're up to 48. No, we're missing Alabama and Hawaii. So.
Interesting to miss, because I could see you missing Hawaii, I guess. But, I would think if you had 48, you would miss, Hawaii and Alaska. but you're missing Alabama.
We did a very, very cool two-week tour of Alaska a few years back, about 2018, I think, in April. We were up there 10 days or 2 weeks. It was such a cool place. Very remote, but very, very cool. Beautiful part of the world. So, yeah, we got Alaska ticked off the list.
But you've also played a lot of different countries as well, and every continent.
We have. We've played all... Well, Europe, I guess, is kind of easy. When you live on an island... it doesn't matter if you're going to France or Germany or, you know, like I say that to people. People say, where are you playing? And I say, I'm not sure it's in France or Germany or Spain or somewhere. Like, people, how can you not know? It's like, because it's the same thing when you live on an island, you have to get a plane to that place anyway, you know? So there's no need to be, I don't know, when you've done enough of it, you don't start overthinking the journey. But we played all over Europe. Yeah. We played in Africa. We have been to every continent at this stage. So,
wow.
A lot of people looking for money for tickets back in a lot of places.
That's why you got to get out so quick. That's why you get out so quick.
No refunds.
That's right. Where would you say in as long as you've been playing, like, are there any particular, I mean, I'm sure you've, like you said, you've played a lot of amazing places. Like what's like a top experience you can think of, like a show that you played?
It's so hard because, you know, you could play a 100-seater venue that might be just an awesome venue and it might have an awesome crowd and really special night. And then you could play to, you know, a festival of 10,000 people and that could be just equally cool. The New Orleans Jazz Fest kind of stands out as a big one. We played that a few years back and that was a really, really great gig. I think, actually, I'll tell you, for me anyway, and probably all three of us, the best one we probably ever had, and it was nowhere near the biggest crowd. It wouldn't even meet the top 100 positions for the biggest crowd. But there was a gig. So every year there's a competition in Ireland called the FLA, and it's a competition for where all musicians from all the different parts of Ireland compete, and it the venue changes every single year. So it came to my town it came to Ennis in 2017 and 2018. And it hadn't been there since 1977 and 1978, I think, wow. Or 78 and 79. So it was a long, long time. And to give you an idea of the scale of this thing, the busiest you would see Ennis on any day of the year would be Christmas Eve. And there might be 6,000 or 7,000 people in the town at a push. There was 500,000 people there.
Wow.
For the week. We were playing at one point a show, and they asked, could we play a little longer, because they had to close one of the bridges that's been there for hundreds of years in town, because there was so much foot traffic on the bridge that they were worried it would collapse. What? So they were actually trying to, like, stagger the shows. I mean, it was crazy busy, just once in a lifetime experience. And the slot that we got was a bit of an awkward one, because it was on a Monday after the flag. So the flag goes on for a week, but we had this slot, like, it was kind of the wrap-up day. And we got a Monday where people were going back to work and people were going home, you know, because we had been in the States, like, so we didn't exactly get our pick of slots. It was just, we were touring the States, so we came home especially. And I think the general consensus was that we were only going to get 200 or 300 people for the show. And it was a huge theater. It was a big kind of purpose-built 2,000-seater theater.
Wow.
And the general consensus was going to be there was going to be 200 or 300. And it was nothing to do with money or nothing to do with fame. It's just like, we didn't want to look back and say, that time it came to our town, we had 10% capacity. But as it turned out, we sold it out and had the gig of the week. You know, so it was the show of the week. I think we sold more tickets than any other show that week, including the Saturday night show. So, and it was crazy, though, because afterwards we heard that the people that were plugging the show, it was bananas. Like, Idan's mother said to us that they were saying it, the priests were saying it on Sunday Mass. in different places, go check out the local boys. Like, Stockton's Wing are a famous band. They're legends of the Irish music scene. And a cousin of mine was at the gig. I wasn't at the gig, but they were playing as well. And my cousin said that six different times during the Stockton's Wing gig, they plugged our show. Apparently, everyone was just kind of putting us up on the shoulders. Like, we just felt so raised up on the shoulders of the top people of the town that was the most special one ever. And it was. The gig, the venue was built 60 seconds from the house, like 80 yards from the house. And it was like right in a park where we'd gone to school here. Our parents had gone to school here. So it was a park that we just played in as kids, you know, and we walked through on the way to town. So it was just such a special moment. It's hard to imagine we'd ever have something like that again, you know.
That's so cool. Yeah, like the hometown, like hometown, like you said, I mean, grew up going to the park, like right there, and then to get to fill that and sell that and have the whole town behind you, like you said, the whole, everybody from the priests to your parents to probably teachers and people that knew you all were like, go.
Everybody. The weird thing was, when we walked up in the morning, we had no idea how well it was selling, you know, and like, I was expecting 200, 250 maybe, and I walked up and we were, the way it kind of went is we went around backstage, so we walked up through the park and kind of got to the back of it, but the main door was at the other side, so people were queuing or coming in at the other side, and I met one of my best mates, and he was walking around. I just assumed that he was trying to get in for free, and I thought he was hoping to meet us to see could we sneak him in the back, and I said, hey, do you want me to get you in here? And he said, no, man, do you not know what's happening? And I said, no. And he said, I'm walking around to check, to get a picture, to check the scale of the queue. The place was so, the venue was so not prepared for it that they had to run to another venue to use their printer to print out tickets for it.
Wow.
There was a queue that wrapped around the whole park and out the gate and back out and everything. So it was unexpected for everybody, but it was just one of these things. We walked up expecting 200 people. There was 2,000 people. The place was full, and it was just unbelievably special moment.
Wow.
So that was probably, my brother said we should have quit after that.
What a story. All right, we're going to take another quick break, and then we'll be back after the break. We'll be back here with more Socks in the Frying Pan, speaking with Shane.
Okay, sound good.
Yeah, sorry, your coffee probably got cold.
No, it's fine.
Dunkin' Extra Extra?
Dunkin', no, this is actually just black with Splenda, believe it or not.
Yeah, that's what I do. I just drink black coffee, too.
Really trying to behave ourselves on this tour now and not do the whole to the dog, and it'll be do every other single tour ever. But...
I'm sure you guys have got like, we're not back yet, right, Bill? Okay, sorry. That's awesome, man. I saw you guys went through a toll. They don't give you guys an easy pass, huh?
They do if we pay for it, but sometimes you're kind of like, you're trying to balance, do you pay for it or not? It's like, are we going to go through many tolls? Of course, it's the time that you buy the thing, you never see a toll. And when you don't buy it, you go through 50 tolls.
Right, right.
Always the way, isn't it?
That's right. Did you guys play you were driving across New York, where was you, Manhattan or anywhere near that, New York City or
no, we were in Massachusetts last night.
Massachusetts. Nice.
And yeah, but it was like a 6-hour drive, so we kind of just drove 4 hours last night to take the sting off today's drive.
Wow.
So yeah,
4 hours after a show.
Yeah, that was There's days you just hate yourself when you're going to the end, getting into bed.
Woof. Woof. What a life. What a life.
Yeah, aging at an exponential rate.
Call now to speak with Justin Dionne at 844-STUDIO-4. It's Know the Scene on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
All right. Welcome back. Welcome back to Know the Scene. Justin Dionne, your host here. If you've been listening, we're having a great conversation today with Shane Hayes from Socks in the Frying Pan, a traditional Irish band. Well, I don't want to say just traditional. We've established that they're more than just traditional. They're really a blend, but we'll say traditional for now. That's coming this Friday night at Kane Center, kicking off our weekend here, kicking off your St. Paddy's Day weekend. Here in Lake Norman, get your tickets at canearts.org. We do have some tickets left for this Friday night, although it is getting tight. It's getting tight, so get online and get those tickets. It'll be a great show. Shane, talk to us a little bit about how you all approach, you know, a show. Like, do you like to make up your set lists, you know, that night? Or do you kind of, when you're on a tour like this, do you tend to build like a tour set list and then just kind of float around that as you go? How do you guys do it?
Good question. I think I suppose we've four albums out now, and originally we kind of start off playing what's on the album, but then stuff has become so kind of popular that there's no getting away from some pieces. So we mix it up. We put different things in different nights. I suppose we also have, like, it depends on what the crowd is like. Like, we're very much so a crowd energy band. So if the crowd are giving us loads of energy, we're just going to want to give a load of energy back. So we kind of go with what comes up in the night type of way, and just, or we could be on the moment as well, just whatever pops up. Like, how about we play this? How about we play this? So there's like a loose structure to the set list, but it's just if the gig feels like it's calling for something, like something slow, then we do something slow. If it feels like it's calling for something more energy, we go for that. So it's like a loose skeleton structure, and then we build around that as the gig feels like it needs to, is calling out for.
Sure. Now, is touring the U.S. around this time of year pretty standard when you guys end up finding yourselves touring the U.S., or does it kind of just float around different times of year?
It does vary. I'd say that March is definitely a big touring window in the States, for sure. March, summer, and then kind of like a winter tour type of thing as well. But yeah, the spring tour is a big one for performing arts centers. So March would be kind of performing arts centers type of thing, and then summer would be festivals. So you nearly build it around a festival circuit, and then winter would be kind of performing arts centers again.
Okay, yeah, I could see festival season, of course, during the summer just being really big. Do you guys again, you've been playing so long in so many different types of places. Do you like both equally, as far as, like, you know, PACs and performing arts centers versus outdoor festivals, or, you know, is it just, or they're all great?
They're all great. We would all answer something differently there, I think. Each one will bring its own different type of vibe. So, like, there's things we could play at a performing arts center that we can't play at a festival, because it's just higher energy at the festivals, you know, and you've kind of got maybe 75 minutes to just, maybe an hour to just, you know, hit people as hard as you can. And people are just there to have fun and jump around and shout. They just want to be screaming and clapping. And there's less scope for the slower stuff, whereas the performing arts centers, and that's great too, because it's hugely high energy, you know, and that's a lot of fun, because, as I say, we do feed off that.
Yeah.
But then equally in the performing arts centers, you get to play some of the, like, you'd miss some of the slow, beautiful things, you know, that, or even talking to a crowd and engaging with a crowd more, which we do a lot as a band. That's missed out on at a festival. It's kind of more like bang, next thing, bang. Whereas a performing arts center, you can kind of slow down a bit, talk,
take your time.
You know, and there's maybe more personality comes across in the performing arts center.
Oh, cool. I like that. Yeah, our crowds here love it when you, like, talk to them and, like, tell stories, and, like, you know, they love that experience.
We have no shortage of stories to tell.
So when you guys aren't on the road, I mean, well, I guess let me ask this, what percentage of the year would you say you guys are on tour?
Probably not anything crazy. Like, this year is one of our busier years. We were on tour for like 5 days in January. We were in France in February for a few days. The month of March, so 6 to 9, maybe 9 weeks in the summer and 3 weeks at Christmas. Maybe about less than a quarter, I'd say.
Wow.
But you're kind of busy throughout the year then doing other stuff. You know, either promoting a gig or putting shows together, or, you know, maybe you're recording stuff or whatever. So there's, like, there's always something to do.
Yeah, of course. And do you guys play a lot around? You guys play a lot around Ireland as well.
Believe it or not, it's very hard to find even two of us in the same country anymore.
Interesting.
So we're nearly all doing different things. Like, when my brother is in Sri Lanka, Adon married a girl from Wisconsin, so he's often off traveling as well.
That'll happen.
Ian was studying in Cambridge in the UK. He's finishing up a PhD over there. So he's kind of between there and Chicago. And I moved over to Florence, Italy last year. So the best chance of having us together. In fact, the only time I've seen Ed on in 2024 has been on tour. So I haven't actually met him in Ireland at any stage, only in the van. So we played together in January and February and March, and it was all, it was the only times I met him was on tour.
How interesting. So what are you doing in Florence?
I met a woman over there, that old chestnut, and I said I'm not moving, and she said she's not moving, so we compromised, and I moved. I learned happy wife, happy life.
That's how that sounds about right. That sounds about right.
Yep.
Good for you. So you, like you, so you went and you moved there, you said a year ago?
I met her, I kind of had Paul to thank for that one, actually. I met her in 2021 when we weren't able to, when we weren't able to travel because of COVID. My uncle has a place in Florence, so he invited me over for a month, and I went over for a month during the summer and met her there. So we both agreed this is going nowhere. Another fantastic call that I made. And for every 2 weeks, we took turns going over and back and over and back. And, for 2 years, and I moved over there last June. So
nice.
So based over there, no, it's not a bad place to be stuck.
Yeah, I've never been, but I hear it's fantastic. Lots of spots. Do you have your own little studio space set up there in your in your apartment or flat or whatever you're in?
Yeah, I would do very little of that studio stuff. I don't want to really go to that thing. That would melt my brains, to do any studio stuff. My studio stuff is picking up an instrument and just playing away for an hour. That's my studio stuff. Aidan is great for recording and things like that. He's the tech guy of the band.
So is Florence a pretty? I mean, I guess I'm sorry, as someone who's still never been, I'm speaking completely out of turn. But Italy, yeah. Obviously, of course, like very cultural place, and Florence as well, from what I understand. So do you go out and just like play? You know, when you want to play in Florence, do you just go out and like play at some of the places around there, like a gig, or you meet up with other musicians and do jams? Like, how are you doing that?
Believe it or not, there's very, very, very little Irish music in Italy. Anyone know that I say that? Of course, there's definitely someone. I guarantee there's somebody from Italy or Spain tuned in here now who's going to be calling, complaining that I said that, which is always the way. Let me put it like this: there's much less Irish music in Italy and Spain than there is in, say, France and Germany. It's very, very popular in France and Germany. The Spanish music is very popular in Spain, and Irish music less so. Of course, there is Irish music. I can just see somebody dialing the show right now, and they have the phone in the hand, and they've just before they call, I know there's Irish music there. There is a session in Florence once a month. Is it once a week or once a month? Once a month. I think it's once a month for about 3 months or something like that, or maybe once a week for... I only joined it once, and it was kind of the last one of the season. So there's like a season of it there, and there's kind of like, it's all Italian people that have kind of fallen in love with Irish music and stuff as well. So I do more playing at home, I guess. But we play so much on the road anyway that, you know, I mean, I'm home regularly enough anyway, so if I want to play music, I can do it at home or
right.
Do it on the road. Like after 3 straight weeks of touring now, and we get home on the 21st, and on the 23rd, we have a bus tour of fans coming over. So I'll be playing for that week as well. Like, I'll be taking a few weeks off, you know.
Yeah, you'll take a break. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, and we're back out here in May anyway for a few days. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, there's no shortage of tunes, put it like that.
Sure. I guess I was just wondering, like, with all of you living, because with this going back to your, like, non-traditional, right, and how you're influenced from lots of different types of music, I just wondered if you ever, like, you know, why you're in such a different area. Like, yes, of course, like, you know, Irish music is probably less there, but, you know, would you get influenced by jamming with, you know, other musicians in Florence that aren't playing Irish music? What would maybe somehow maybe influence ideas of you as you play?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, if you ask the three of us, my brother always said his inspiration as a band was Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite band is Queen, and Aidan's favorite band was Steely Dan.
Oh, so
there's
wow.
No nothing traditional there at all. Like, we'd all listen to, like, we play it because we enjoy it. We don't study it or anything, you know. Like, and I think that's nearly one of the things that has given us some bit of the sound. It's like just a complete disregard for the genre in a way, you know. That,
yeah.
Like, we, of course, we all listen to it, but and we do love it and do appreciate other bands doing stuff. But it's just in general, like, if you listen to my playlist in the car, it could be anything from Metallica. Good music. There's every sort of everything. There's tribe music on there too, but it's definitely not just like I'm driving along in the car just listening to
right of
music.
Course,
like, everything gets listened to, which is nice because it gives you ideas and gives you flavors and, you know, for other things as well. So for sure you'd be influenced by other people. Yeah,
All right. Well, we're going to take one last break. Thanks for hanging with us, Shane. We got one more segment after this, guys. Don't turn that dial. Know the scene. Welcome back to Know the Scene. It's Tuesday. Friday's coming. This March 15th. Make sure you come to Kane Center for the Arts to come see Socks in the Frying Pan for some traditional style Irish music. These three dudes, three guys, if you will, three fellas. These great Irishmen are coming in to do wonderful, wonderful music. Talking with Shane today, a founding member of Socks in the Frying Pan and a vocalist with the band and also an accordion player in the group. How did you pick up an accordion, Shane?
Bad parenting, I'd say, Justin. largely. Generally, when a child ever says, if there's any parents listening with small children, if your child ever says, can I learn the accordion? No is the answer, and you hand them a guitar. Simple as that. It's kind of like a boy named Sue, isn't that the Johnny?
Yes, yeah, that's a great one.
He gives him a girl's name, so that, you know, the kid has to become tough. It's like, that's why they give you an accordion. If you play the accordion, you have to develop charm, you know. It's like, you got not a lot else going for you. So, I was in my primary school, as I said in Clare, like everybody plays. And we were very lucky. We had a great accordion player teacher in the school.
Oh wow!
And he was over the school band as well. But he taught everybody the tin whistle, you know. So everybody learned the tin whistle. And he was an accordion player himself. And I went home one day and I said to my mother, "I'd like to learn this." And she said, "Okay." My parents were extremely supportive, and just anything we needed musically, it was just given to working class people. I do not know how they afforded us, but I can barely afford to live on my own now, so I don't know how they manage two of us. But
that's awesome.
Very supportive. I mean,
that's great. That's you know, it comes up a lot in this show when we talk with folks about how they got started. You know, of course, usually it comes from a family member, right? Whether it's their parents or sometimes an uncle or a cousin or someone like that. And how cool that you you know, well, when he was with you at least, you know, you had you and your brother both were in the group.
Yeah. We were very, very lucky with teachers and stuff that we've come across and people we've come across, and people have been, we've been very lucky because a lot of very supportive people have crossed paths with us, and wouldn't be here without them for sure. So
yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Oh, by the way, everyone, sorry for those keeping track. During the break, Shane confirmed that they are now in Maryland. So we started this interview in New Jersey, and we are ending it in Maryland. As
third state.
That's right. Third state. Three state. It's a three state interview. For those following at home, Socks in the Frying Pan, literally on their way down south. They're gonna stop in Maryland tonight. I was gonna look up your schedule to make sure people know where you're going next. But as I mentioned, there are still tickets left for this weekend. Please, everybody, go get those tickets, canearts.org, so you can see Shane and all the rest of the guys there with him. Looks like you guys are going to be in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday tomorrow. You're going to go to Withville, Virginia on Thursday.
Is that how you pronounce that?
Withville, yes, Withville.
Okay, Withville.
Yes,
okay.
not Wytheville.
Okay, I was wondering,
Yes.
I've said it a few times, and I'm never sure, is it Withville or Wytheville?
Yes, Withville.
Lads, I can confirm that it's Withville anyway. Okay, there you go.
It is Withville. It's a beautiful, beautiful area in the mountains, kind of in the Shenandoah Valley and mountains area. Then here to Kane Center, then Saturday to Newberry, South Carolina, then back up to Boone, North Carolina on Sunday.
The Appalachian Theater in the High Country.
Yes.
St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, that'll be a great show, a great venue. They're good. I know the people there as well. They're great people.
This is going to be some great, like, we're really looking forward to the last couple of days of the tour. There's a some fantastic spots to come, and as I say, we seem to be driving into the warmer weather, which is very much appreciated.
So any good
73 here now,
so yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's warming up. And so let's see, you've been on this tour, gosh, you've been in Rhode Island, New York, Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, Ohio, Dallas, Texas, Syracuse, New York. Oh, wait, no, that was past. I'm sorry. You've been
close, though. It makes me. We were in Houston, Texas, Dallas, Texas, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Utica,
yeah,
Rhode Island. Where were we then? Northampton, Massachusetts, and now tonight in
yes,
Maryland, and then tomorrow Washington, then Whitville, then with you guys, then Newbury, then Boone, then Atlanta, Georgia. I cannot believe I got.
Yeah, I know. Way to go!
That's the first time
I've. You do know where you're going.
Just about. I know where I'm coming from, though.
That's right. Any of the shows stood out so far on this leg of the tour? Like, I mean, I'm sure they all stood out. I don't mean, you know, but any memorable moments or anything from this tour so far?
I think that every place you go, like, we're definitely a band that likes to make the most of what we can. So everyone has every place will have its own little thing, you know. Case in point, Pittsburgh. The Pittsburgh venue was awesome because it was like one half the venue was this kind of like cool pub with a stage theater type thing. It was like a 300 seater thingy, and then the other side was a bowling alley. So
we're
literally sharing a wall with the bowling alley. So it was funny though because we were playing this sad song, the slow one, and you could just hear the pins being knocked down in the next. Very funny.
It would have been better if they were like timed out to certain parts of the song or something.
Great! It's just like if you could have timed it, would have been perfect. Just it was very funny. And then the next night we were in Utica, and I mean we went to this cool Italian restaurant. We went to this Bosnian bakery for breakfast. It was gorgeous. We played in an art museum or an art gallery. Like, just every place has its own little touch and all little story. So it's been very cool.
That's awesome. Well, I know we're excited to have you down here, and the weather's supposed to be beautiful on Friday for you guys. If I remember correctly, I think it's supposed to be sunny and well, maybe a little cloudy, but 70s, still 70s, a little partly cloudy on Friday. It'll be nice.
We have a habit of bringing the rain with us wherever we go.
Oh, no.
We played Los Angeles a few years ago, and they were in the middle of a drought. I think they hadn't had rain for so long, and we arrived, and the next day it started raining. That's happened in two or three places we've been to where people have said, oh, you got to come back and bring the rain, and we do go, and it does rain. We just ruin good things for ourselves for some reason.
It's okay. We're an indoor venue, so if it rains, it's still fine.
That's okay.
That's still fine. We'll be all indoors. Yeah. No, we're not outdoors for this. It'll be great. So tell us a bit about your bandmates real quickly, other than the fact that they've been driving in front of you this whole conference.
I can show you the backs of their heads. give a thumbs up there. Give a thumbs up. This is Adon, and this is Ian.
All right.
It looks like we're being sponsored by Dunkin' Donuts here with all the coffee in the can. So Ian is from the extreme west of Ireland, from Chicago. And funny story about how we met Ian many years ago. Adon and myself are the original members of the band. And our first summer out, we were passing through Chicago, and we were the new it band on the scene that year. And Ian was a senior in high school, and he was this up and coming kid, you know. And he was brought to the show by this woman. She was like a mother to us in Chicago, and she kind of was a mother to loads of the musicians in Chicago. And Ian and his mother came down because she wanted him to play with this new band. And his mother looked at me, and I was putting away White Russians, quote, and she said, "Don't stay away from that guy." So here he is now driving me around 8 years later.
That's right. Wait, so Ian is actually from Chicago?
From Chicago, but we don't let him speak because his American accent devalues the band.
We shouldn't talk about that on the radio.
He's just raised a finger for me here. And it wasn't a thumbs up.
I know, all my marketing is now shot. All my marketing shot. It's not a full Irish band now.
I see that, okay. No. He's as Irish as they come. Ian Keegan, it's an Irish name.
That's right. Like you said, from the western, as far west of Ireland as you go, the Chicago shores.
Yeah, extreme west. Yeah.
That's right. Clark, County Clark, Ireland.
Yeah, Exactly.
Awesome. And so, so Ian still lives there in Chicago full time. And then you said your other band member, I'm sorry, pronounce his name for me one more time.
Adon.
Adon. And he now, but he,
Adon, yeah.
He lives somewhere else too.
He lives in Ennis County, Clare. He's the only one of us still left supporting the local business.
Oh, he is still there. Okay.
Yes, but he married a girl from Wisconsin. She's
that's
here. So
okay.
So he didn't support local business in that regard. But but yeah.
Those Midwestern American girls got to watch out for him.
I know. Like she saw him coming, and that was it. They met in our very first tour out here as well, which is pretty cute.
Ah, very nice.
Yeah. But she's put some manners on him.
But you and Adon grew up together.
We did. We had a mutual friend. We were the same age in school, but he went to the rival school, the dumb school, you know, for dumb and ugly people. So he went to the other school in town, and we had a mutual friend. So Adon played rock music, stupid dumb rock music, with a guy that I lived with the whole way through college. So I was great friends with this guy, and he was in a band with Adon. So that's how we met. And it was at this guy's 21st birthday party that Adon told me he played Irish music. And I thought, well, good for you. I'm never going to be playing with you. And here we are.
And here we are.
It was 14 months afterwards. That's how I got his number in the first place. It was at this guy's 21st. And he gave me his number. And that's like, I never thought to call him. So 14 months later, that's how badly stuck I was, that I had never even registered to call this guy. And here we are. We've played for the President of Ireland. We've played for the President of Portugal. We've played in every continent. And there you go.
There you go. Well, Shane, thank you so much. We've made it through 3 states together today. You hung on. You didn't lose the signal. We really appreciate you being here. Socks in the frying pan, guys. Friday night at Kane Center. Get those tickets, kanearts.org. Thanks again, Shane.
Thanks for having me, Justin.
All right. Safe travels. Know the scene, everybody. See you next week.